Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with O.J. Fargo, and he's a Civil War reenactor in a unique way. Good morning to you, O.J.
Good morning.
I know that you are traveling around probably beyond the state of Iowa, and we're really lucky that you're going to be coming to Atlantic next Tuesday.
I'm looking forward to it, tell you the truth. I haven't spent much time there, just kind of in and out on various errands, but yeah, it'll be fun dealing with the people there.
You bet. And our public library, I think, is very good at hosting programs like this. And what an opportunity we have to learn more about the Civil War in a unique way. I think a bit of a different way, O.J. Kind of describe what you do in this program.
Well, in what I do is portray a Civil War soldier from Iowa who's coming back home in 1865. So unlike your usual programs where it's battles and Lincoln and generals and that sort of thing, I'm just a regular down-home guy that talks about things that people can relate to today.
And I'm guessing you do have questions, and people are welcome to ask questions. But, you know, that insight into an individual has to be really special.
Most people see it that way. I work with history teachers for 30 years, and I could never quite convert them, tell you the truth, into you have to make it relevant for the kid. It has to mean something to them. So, you know, something that happened to, what they'd say is, you know, a lot of history is like something that happened to somebody else, someplace else, way far away. It's got nothing to do with me. So I try to bring that home to a local level.
And I understand you have a database about people who served in the Civil War from Iowa?
Yeah, I use that with kids when I was with the Area Education Agency. And it has all of the soldiers from Iowa, and it has what amounts to short biographies of each one.
Wow.
So just in a matter of seconds, you know, of whatever information you've got, that'll come up. They can then take a look at it and see if it means anything to them.
And I'm guessing even if, for instance, I didn't have any family that served in the Civil War, but I bet I would recognize some names, either of my family or other people's families, that I could connect to.
Sure, if nothing else, I can type in Atlantic or Cass County or your last name or your neighbor's last name. And there's something about that, especially like in small towns. See, I dealt with a lot of little towns.
Sure.
And when a kid, say in Newmarket or Decatur City or Gus or wherever, Lewis, as an example, that's right near you, sees their name, you know, in this database, they go, oh, something happened here. You know, and they get kind of excited about
that. That makes it much more personal than learning another date and another name of a war. And
then they get into, well, where'd they go, what'd they do, you know, and now you're into math and geometry and all sorts of things.
Very good. Now, how did you get to this stage? You talked about you worked with schools, but how did you get interested in the Civil War?
I was always interested in history, and I was surrounded by family members and friends who didn't like it at all. The research says that like 80% of the country thinks it's way too dry and that sort of thing. So a Civil War unit started in, would have been about 92. And I thought, God, at the time, I thought the Civil War is just the most boring thing I'd ever seen in my life. But I thought, well, all right, any old port in a storm. Well, that's about the time Ken Burns came out with his series. So it just got to, you know, if you're going to do something, do it all the way. So it just got to be somewhat of a passion. And then the population in general got interested in it, and then I offshot into the personal.
And Ken Burns, I think, was successful in this case because he did what you are doing, and that is making it very personal. He had family histories and letters and so on.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. He spoke to the time and the era in something that people could relate to, didn't speak over their heads, didn't talk in minutia, just kind of made sense to them.
Yeah, and we could relate to families and maybe even cry a few tears when we saw those or heard those stories, so it made it much more personal. Now, you come in uniform. Tell us about finding the uniform parts. Is that a difficult thing to do?
No, it's not terribly difficult. Most of what I carry with me are replicas, but they're exact replicas. So I could step back into 1860, probably 1862, 1863, and nobody would know the difference, except I'd probably be a bit more cleaner than what you were back then.
Yes, yes, I'm sure. That's part of the story, I think. How did people live day to day, things we just take for granted?
And people will say to me, God, I don't think I could have survived
uh-huh.
that. Yeah, I'm not sure we're any less hardy than what they were. You either, of course, having this database that I keep working on incessantly, a lot of these guys came home with disabilities, discharged for various diseases and who knows, that kind of stuff. So about a third of these guys didn't, you know, got sent home for one reason or another.
And they were lucky they got home, because usually you had an injury, you were dead, right? I mean, if you had, you didn't recover.
A pretty good risk, yeah.
Yeah. So how many people, I'm thinking it was mostly men, although there were always some women followers. How many men served from Iowa in the Civil War?
That's a matter of conjecture. My numbers indicate that there were 74,000. You talk to the next guy, they'll tell you something a little bit different. They can't even decide how many served altogether. But based on what I've got, I'm standing on 74,000.
Okay. And what do you know what the population of Iowa was at that time?
Oh, goodness. Now you're...
I know, it's
I
really...
want to say...
I mean, when I think 74,000, that's a big number. That was very significant in the population of state of Iowa.
48% of the eligible male went. So I'm trying to extrapolate. Want to say like 380,000, but
so it affected.
Call me back later.
Right, or I'll come see you Tuesday night.
Okay.
So that means what an impact that had on the whole state, not just on individual families, but when you take that many men out of the picture, what does that do to the economy, to the farm life, to whatever? I mean,
like most wars, it actually boosted the economy, but it put a lot of pressure on those who were still here. So a female would now have had to take over, and Iowa at that time was about 90% rural. So the wife, the mother, the sister would have had to take over the running of that farm. And nobody ever talks about that.
Right, right.
And they never wrote much about that. They just slogged on through and away they went. But yeah, because of the war and Iowa being away from the seat of the war, they were exporting all kinds of things, especially horses.
Oh, interesting. You grew your horse and then you sent it off to the war.
Because they were killing them off right and left
over
the East. So
yes.
It kind of depopulated.
So kind of describe how your program goes. People come in to the public library at 6:30 on Tuesday the 20th, and then what happens?
I usually get there about an hour ahead of time to mess with the database. I put out a display, and then I also like to kind of talk to the people and see where they're coming from before, you know, as they're coming in. Then I start off, you know, you got to prime the pump.
Sure.
Although I was at a place here about 3-4 months ago, and it wasn't really a mistake. I said, well, do you have any questions before I go into first person? About an hour later, they just came with all kinds of questions.
Excellent.
So things come up. I mean, you never know. Some audiences, they just like to listen. Other audiences, they want to participate. I've had people who want to get into character and participate.
Interesting.
So I encourage any and all questions, because I'm just a returning soldier, just happened to stumble into that particular building at that time of night on my way home. And here's all these people. So I could do a formal presentation, but I'd get bored stiff if that's what I had to do all the time.
And it says to me, OJ, that you have all this background information. You've done the programs many times. So you have all of this information, and it's not a rote kind of thing. You're there to answer people's questions.
It's amazing. Half the time, I can't remember what I had for supper last night, but somebody asked me a question about how did they bury their dead, you know, and bingo, I'm right on it.
Okay, so we need to come and see you in uniform and hear about the everyday life of soldiers in the Civil War, and that's all happening at the Atlantic Public Library this coming Tuesday the 20th at 6:30 p.m. We're looking forward to meeting you, O.J.
And my lovely assistant just slapped into my hand the population of Iowa in 1862.
7% was that population.
Was 500,000.
All right, good. So it's good to have a good assistant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're
well,
right-hand man.
You bet. Until next time again, thank you, O.J., and until next time, here's a thought. History is neither more nor less than biography on a large scale.